I mean, we just have this reputation of always looking really good in the Big 12 and losing in the big game. And then this year we didn't even make it to the big game, but look what happened to TCU. So it's like, it's kind of the reputation we have. But when people tell me we have a reputation of choking, I always try to remind them, I think that was more on one coach who did the same thing at his next school.
You're listening to the Fox Den Sports Podcast. Now, here are your hosts, Todd and his three sons, Kellen, Garrett, and Gannon.
We're back with my two oldest sons, Kellen and Garrett, and our Dallas Cowboy football insider, Diego Zavarse. I am Todd Fox, and we are the Fox Den Sports Podcast. And tonight marks our 87th episode. What player do you think of that wore that jersey number 87?
Yeah, well, I'll go ahead and just go in there and go Rob Gronkowski. I would say probably one of the most physical tight ends, you know, in the NFL history, arguably one of the best of all time, definitely top three in my opinion. Easily. Who? I don't know who you would see. You'd have Tony Gonzalez.
He's the best
Kelsey,
of all time.
Yeah. And Gronk. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, Gronkowski, 87. Honestly, for what he put his body through, I feel like he was injured every single year, and just by every single game, he was questionable, and he still performed, but. Yeah, he was
in there
huge,
like in the past.
I think he was faking.
Huge. Okay. Huge part of Tom Brady's success for sure.
Who made did Tom Brady make Gronkowski or Gronkowski make Brady?
I think it was just like a little
I
bit
think
of
it was
both.
Just a good duo.
You could tell like Gary and Diego. Can't really picture one without the other.
You know, that's a great example. Perfect example, actually.
And Gary, I can't wait till you re-listen to this. You said Grob instead of Rob. You said
you
Grob.
Did.
I was like, I did not.
You 100% said it.
So the guy
Rob
you said never existed.
Gronkowski.
Good old Grob.
Grob.
Who's next?
I'm going to go Reggie Wayne. Good old wide receiver for the Indianapolis Colts. You know, kind of in the. It really feels like a lot longer ago. He was there up till 2014. Seems like he's been gone a while, which I guess it's been 10 years now. But hey, good times. Him and Peyton Manning were a great duo there. So you'd love to see it. And I miss it.
I don't know how he's not in the Hall of Fame, honestly.
I really don't know. Like,
for the other
this, like,
receivers that have made it, like.
Yeah.
Looking at number 87, he's the top player that doesn't have it yet. Like
I was never – I mean, he's okay. That's just me, though.
I mean, doesn't he still have more chances to get in?
Yeah, he would.
No, definitely.
He'll eventually he'll eventually get in, but I didn't think he was –
first ballot.
Nah.
That's special.
To me.
I mean, just based off some of the people that are in there, though.
I don't disagree. It's become the Hall of Good instead of, you know, they should –
Even somebody, Hall of Great, but like it doesn't, it's not just great players that need to be in it. You know what
they
I mean?
Need to get like,
I mean, Dion was saying there needs to be an upper room.
And that's what I'm saying. I agree with him, but then golly, then why do they even have it? But yeah, no, I don't disagree with him.
I'll say I think the Basketball Hall of Fame's like that too.
Oh, we were talking about this like a month ago, but like the fact that it's the NBA and like all the, leagues are associated with each other, like NCAA Hall of Fame.
It's just
NBA
the Basketball
Hall of Fame,
like Hall of Fame,
stuff.
Not the NBA. I agree.
There's no,
I will say,
nothing to it.
The MLB Hall of Fame, I think, is legit.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's legit.
Yeah.
If you make the MLB Hall of Fame, you are the real deal.
For sure. And they don't let those guys in that possible roids.
Yeah, well, it's not easy to get in.
If I'm not mistaken, they'll sometimes have years they don't even put anybody
in. Yeah, they've had some where they haven't had anybody in. This last year, Scott Rowland, which I loved Scott Rowland when he played for the Cardinals, I didn't think he was a Hall of Fame player. But that's like the first one I was like, huh.
Wasn't he like, he barely made it? Like, he
yeah,
got exactly the percentage.
Yeah, he barely made it, but it's still, I don't know. He was good, but he wasn't. Darius,
favorite player, Scott Wolin.
When he was little.
My favorite number 87 is Jordy Nelson. That dude was a beast back in the day. He was a great fantasy player, too. And, you know, he made Aaron Rodgers, honestly. He made who Aaron Rodgers is today. I'll say it.
Good for you.
I'm just kidding. But Aaron Rodgers made Jordy Nelson. But he was a good wide receiver, good slot guy. I enjoyed watching him play, though. He was a good time. As soon as he went to the Raiders, though, his career was over.
Yeah. No, I agree. And that's unfortunate for him.
We got our next Instagram post. Jordy Nelson made Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. We'll edit out the part where he said he was just kidding.
Then we'll have Green Bay fans getting mad.
It's all right. That's fine. Totally right. Fine. Does Green Bay still have fans? Huh?
Does Green Bay still have fans?
They got a ton of fans. And plus, I am I'm an owner of that franchise. So, anyway, I'll tell you the 87. Speaking of the Raiders, Mr. Dave Casper. Dave Casper was incredible. Played with Kenny the Snake Stabler. I think he played, I want to say 74 to 84, something like that. I know he ended up at the Oilers. I think he may have gone to the Vikings for just a cup of coffee, maybe. But Dave Casper was, of course, that was back in the day when there wasn't all a passing league. So he was an incredible, just he could block, he could catch. They changed a rule because of him. They called it the Holy Roller, I think, in 1978. Stabler fumbled the ball and kept batting it forward, batted it into the end zone, and Casper recovered it for a touchdown. So they changed the rule because of that. You can't, like, when you fumbled, you couldn't fumble it forward and hit it to go forward. So that is the reason why that's changed. The rule has been changed. But Dave Casper, man, love that guy. Incredible, incredible football player. Let's move to some recruiting news. Now, I know it's a little bit old to some folks, but the Oklahoma Sooners just landed a big-time commitment. Hasn't signed yet, but he did say he was going to come, and that was David Stone, 5-star from, what's IMG?
IMG Academy.
IMG Academy in Florida. I don't know whereabouts in Florida. Do you guys know? I don't have any idea. But fantastic signing. Let's talk about it. And then, yeah, were you ever concerned at all?
I mean, yeah, I personally was, especially just because of everything that's happened the last couple of years with players of his stature that have been supposed to come to Oklahoma, which I know is a huge storyline leading up to this one, is just, can we finally just like put the nail in the coffin and actually get one of these guys? Because we've done all the work and then some to be in a great position with, again, the likes of David Hicks and Williams Nwaneri, and to not be able to get them, like, it was just, you know, gut punch. But, and the big one on this one too is like the homegrown aspect, since, you know, he played at Del City that's kind of where he started out his high school career and played most of his life, and then eventually, yeah, transferred to IMG. So to be able to miss out like on that solid and stature of a player that was in Oklahoma, which doesn't happen very often, would have been huge if we missed out on that. But yeah, I was worried leading up right till the very, very end. And even after he put the hat on, I was like, hang on, he could still throw it off and put on one of these other ones.
Yeah, the whole time I was like, there's no way he's coming to OU. After all these heartbreaks of all these 5-star guys projecting saying that they're going to come to OU, I was just like, no way this guy's going to come here. I kept texting Gary all night. I was like, when is he going to commit? When is it going to happen? Is he actually coming? And as soon as he put on the hat, just like Gary said, I was like, he's going to fake out and he's going to pick Texas A&M. He's going to pick Miami and he's going to go with those schools. And he even said it afterwards that he reached for Miami because he actually was going to pick Miami. And then at that moment, he decided to go to OU. And that was his actual, like he said, I'm the type of person that doesn't want to fake anybody out or upset anybody. So he wasn't doing that on purpose. Like, he actually wanted to pick Miami, and then at that last second, he's like, I'm going home. I'm going back to Oklahoma. So that was cool to hear that, but I was just like, finally we got one. But like you said, Todd, he hasn't signed yet, so he could leave. But I think he's going to stay with his decision. I think he's that type of guy.
Well, obviously, I hope, you know, obviously you hope he stays, right? But my big thing is, until they actually walk on campus, they sign. But everything looks good. You would rather them have commit than to, you know, the opposite way, obviously, you know what I mean? But I think this is the biggest defensive signing since Tommy Harris. I think if you put Tommy Harris and Gerald McCoy against each other, I think Tommy Harris a little better. I think Gerald McCoy had a better NFL career, but in college, Tommy Harris was, oh my goodness, that guy. And McCoy was good too. But McCoy, I remember he was thinking between USC and Oklahoma. That was his two. And he was obviously from here. He came, but I think it's the biggest defensive signing since Tommy Harris. We got one of the guys, and I know there was a five-star. Is it last? Did we get another five-star? Was it last year? What was it? What's his name?
Yeah, it's hard. I just call him PJ, but yeah, I think it's PJ Adibawore. Don't know. The main difference, though, is that he was a late five-star. So, like, I think if I'm not mistaken, even after his senior season is whenever he finally got the fifth star. David Stone has been a five-star since like his sophomore year.
Right.
And so he's been this good for many, many years.
And he's the best at his position, right? He's like the
interior, interior rusher. Yeah, 100%.
He's the top guy. He can sit there and create some havoc in the middle, which if you can come up, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if you can create pressure from the middle, I don't know if there's a whole lot you can honestly do, because it's coming. You don't have that very, you know, you only got the center and the two guards right there in front. So if he can create some havoc right there, man, OU, if they can just, which I truly believe, I really do, I think that they're going to be able to coach these guys up, and I think they're going to have a really incredible defense here very shortly. Obviously, it's going to be, you know, SEC. I'm not even talking records or anything at that point, like 8-4 or 9-3 or anything like that, but you're going to see a significant, in my opinion, difference with this defense.
I mean, I feel like you need to have guys like him to be successful in the SEC. Like, these are the guys, like, this is what Alabama and Georgia are getting year in, year out.
Correct.
If OU can start doing that, then they're going to be able to compete year in and year out, and they're not going to have those off years like they did last year. Like, if they can continue to get guys like David Stone on defense and on that D line and also on the O line, they're gonna do just fine, because people are gonna continue wanting to come play for Oklahoma just because it's so historically good. But like, this is a good start to be able to finally get a 5-star D lineman like David Stone to come to Oklahoma. That is, and now other guys seeing that he made the decision, saying, now I can go to Oklahoma, you guys can come too and come join me. And I think that's something that we're going to see too, is people are going to be like, I want to go play with David Stone.
Yeah.
In Oklahoma.
But yeah, I mean, on that note, everyone's, yeah, like you said, the dominoes are going to start falling, not only this class, but classes to follow.
Sure.
And I think it's,
sure,
this is the first thing we're seeing. Like, when people are always like, oh, but Oklahoma, I mean, they stink at producing defensive talent. Like, you're not wrong. Like, the last decade, we have not had a whole lot of success in it. So, like, they're completely correct when they say that. But the difference is the coaches, obviously. Like, you can say that about Oklahoma, but you can't say that about Brent Venables and Todd Bates. Like, I think it's Todd Bates has put 17 defensive linemen in the NFL, 10 of them being first-rounders. And then, like I mentioned, I don't know if I said this on the podcast, but Venable since 2000 put in like 54 players, defensive players in the NFL. So we have the coaches to do it. It's just getting that stigma of Oklahoma not being able to put those guys in the NFL out of there, because it's about to change, which is exciting. And we're still getting these offensive talents and studs at a top level as well with Jackson Arnold last year, the number one running back this year. Like, we're going to keep on the offensive side of the ball. So that's not going to be an issue whatsoever. It's just like Dave or Diego said, like getting a guy like David Stone is the ones that, again, knock some dominoes over and that you're going to see make a huge difference on the field against other five-star players in the SEC against, you know, Georgia, Bama,
right,
stuff like that.
Kellen, I know you live in Georgia, so you're not like in the like mix that we're in, so you kind of have a different probably thought process. What are people that you, when you come in contact with, because I know you wear Oklahoma gear when you're there, well, when you're obviously living in Georgia, but any comments ever made about Oklahoma to you? What people's thoughts are there?
Usually just talk about us choking or
yeah,
Bama fans telling me the greatest thing that's ever happened to us was Jalen Hurts and all that. So people, you know, they love to hate on it, but
let them.
Yeah, you know, we're on our way up.
I love it when people can't stand us. I think that's just that's really, really neat to hear. But I think this is the kind of guy we need. I think he can help bring along some folks, not him maybe personally, but him being here, other five-star people helping that out, thinking, hey, I can come here. Is there another player on that team that's like who is that?
Well, there's one already committed to us,
right,
which is the other interior defensive lineman that he plays with, which...
What was he, a four-star then, or what?
Three to four, but okay. He's a lot of people, not even just OU fans. Like, he was getting... Ohio State wanted him really bad, Texas wanted him really bad, and I think there was another big team, too, if I'm not mistaken. That
tells you something right there.
Exactly, and if you watched that game on Saturday, while Stone was getting... you know, single covered, double covered on some plays, this kid was getting triple covered. So, like, wow. he's good, and he's going to be – I don't think he's going to be as big of a day one impact as David Stone. That's not – I mean, who knows if David Stone even, you know, plays a ton day one anyways. Right. But by junior year, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with himself.
Man.
And so, also, I mean, IMG, again, like we said earlier, that's just one of the biggest – D1 high schools in the country. So if you can start to build that pipeline, the following year there's like a five-star offensive lineman that we're in the mix for. This year there's a five-star offensive lineman that we're in the mix for. So if we can start kind of getting that pipeline built up and these guys starting to, you know, recruit some of their old high school teammates, I mean, that's going to be huge. And I know it's obvious, like who doesn't want, you know, an IMG or a really big powerhouse high school pipeline, but I think we're doing it the right way by getting the guys in the trenches, and then skill players are a lot easier to come by for sure.
Especially at OU. I mean, we can get any skill player to come over here.
Yeah.
Cause that's something we produce in the NFL is offensive skill players to go become, I mean, Jalen Hurts, there's a great example. The dude's last year was at OU. And even though, yeah, he played at Alabama, like, I mean, the jump that he made, like, that year that he played at OU was the reason he became a third-round draft pick. Like, somebody believed in him because they saw something. Oh, second round. My bad.
He was like, wow. No, yeah. He was, like, first second. Pick in the second or something like
that. Never mind. You don't have to look that up now. I don't think that's that early.
Maybe. But, like, yeah, you have to look it.
You see guys like CeeDee Lamb, Marquise Brown. Even former tight ends that used to like Mark Andrews. Like, we produce offensive skill guys. If we can just get these defensive guys to come over here, it's going to definitely change what people think of us for sure.
I agree 100%. And I think it's going to happen. We've just got to have, which I still fully think we'll have a pretty decent season. As long as the, you know, key folks stay healthy, I don't see any reason why we can't win 9 games. I really don't. At all. I think this is a 9-win team with this kind of schedule we've got going on. Bradenton, Florida is where it's located. It's 45 minutes south of Tampa. So I've known some people for my career work, not personally, like real well, but throughout my career that have worked in that area. So that's, I know where that is now, just looking through it. But this is a huge signing. I know we talked about Jackson Arnold just a second ago. OU has signed 4 5-star quarterbacks, and not one of them stayed with us Sooners. Rhett Bomar, Spencer Rattler, and Caleb Williams. So hopefully number 4 is a charm. I don't see any reason why not. I really don't. And I know we play Arkansas State coming up on Saturday. My question is this. So a game like that, which, let's be honest, we should win, right? I mean, being honest, how long do you play the starters? Because you want to get some of that gelness, or, you know, the, what do you call it? What's the word?
Chemistry.
Chemistry. Yeah, chemistry working together. But at the same time, I know you're going to want to get some backups, some time to play. Where do you draw the line? What are your thoughts? What are your guys' thoughts on something like that?
I mean, I personally, obviously, this is given the fact like we're in a good position, like the win's not a doubt and everything. I would say probably right at the beginning of the fourth. I think that first half is obviously one to create that separation to put it in, you know, no doubt.
Right.
Third quarter might be whenever you try a couple of things here and there, or maybe toss it in a couple of different, not formations. What's the word I'm looking for? Just players on the field at the same time that you might not try, you know, in any other game.
Like trying to find that personnel.
Personnel. Yeah. Personnel. And then like, yeah, fourth quarter is whenever you're like, hey, you know, Arnold and all these other guys, that's, go ahead and show us what you got, but also get some experience and learn from it.
I want to see Jackson Arnold with the first team a little bit, though. I really do.
True, because when we went and saw him in the spring game, we didn't get a whole lot of justice because he did not get – that offensive line was not the first team.
Right.
For sure.
Sure.
And that's what I was about to say. Like, I think what Gary said, start of the fourth, but, like, maybe, like, halfway through the third – put in Jackson Arnold with the first string guys, like first the starting offensive linemen, starting receivers, and see how it goes. Like, and then you can start bringing like sophomores or juniors that don't play, and then even freshmen that are kind of like 3, 4, 5-star guys. But definitely like halftime, until halftime, it's starters all the way until you create that separation. Third quarter, you can try to do new things. Hey, would this guy work good with Dylan Gabriel at quarterback? Or will this running back be good with these offensive linemen? Like trying to figure out at what like personnel with certain players, like
right.
And that's kind of like, I think that's kind of how it'll go. And then fourth quarter, it should be, because I think they should beat Arkansas State, but fourth quarter should be like second, and then maybe some third stringers at towards the end.
You're as a head coach, you're hoping to get through without any kind of significant injuries. Obviously, that's a guarantee right there. So you're trying to, you know, what am I going to do? Who am I going to play? Who am I going to put in here? So it'll be very interesting to see. I'm interested in seeing some of these, like who's going to start at running back. I heard middle linebacker is not going to be Canuck. I don't know if you heard. I heard it's going to be this kid, Connor Neer from Ferris State.
He's at D2.
Yeah. That's who I'm hearing that Canuck's still not picking it up as much as I obviously they think he should. So but I do think he'll be out on the field quite a bit. But at the same time, it's sounding like this Connor Neer guy is going to be the one who's going to be playing the most or starting, which is surprising, to be honest with you.
I want to say Kinnick wasn't even really super expected to be the middle linebacker because for whatever, like that's not his natural position, I don't think.
Okay.
I think he's more of a
Danny Stutzman.
Not even, yeah, like that kind of position. So, and I mean, if you're on social media, they're like best friends, roommates, all this stuff. So once Stutzman leaves, I think that is the exact void that he's going to fill for the next 1 to 2 years. But he's still too good of an athlete to keep off the field, which is getting to the point where we have too many of those. I guess you can't have too many of those, but like we have a lot of really good athletes on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah. Definitely.
Like, it's, oh, yeah, it's getting insane. It's getting loaded, which is good. And I think it's important to note that I think our coaching staff's doing a good job of making sure these guys know before they come in, even, like, you're going to have to, one, fight for that spot. Mm-hmm. But also, like, even if you don't get it day one, you know, that next year, as long as you put in the work, you could be that guy.
Sure. I'm really looking to see Trace Ford, see how well he adapts to the Sooners. I'm really wanting to see something out of Ethan Downs this year. I feel like it's been a little, I don't want to say the word disappointing, but it seems as if it's been, and not necessarily all him, but it's just because he didn't have any, I don't feel like he had any help. But I think that getting some of those guys some playing time, I want to see how much, what's the kid's name? Peyton Bowen plays. I think that dude's going to be a stud.
Everything we're hearing, if it wasn't for us having like a sixth-year senior on the team, he'd probably start most games.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the like Pearson that, kid?
Reggie Pearson. Like,
who's a stud himself.
Who is? Yeah, exactly. If it wasn't for him, I think Bowen would be in heavy, heavy contention for that starting spot as a freshman. Like, he is all over the place. And also, I mean, he's trying so many different positions, too. Like, not even just safety. Or he's trying both safeties, corner, that cheetah position, I think, that we have.
Pearson, the guy from Tech?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, our secondary and even our linebackers, there's, like you said, there's so many athletes. And, like, they have to rotate. Like, Kanick's going to play. I even think that Kobe McKenzie kid's going to play at linebacker a little bit. There's that guy that we got from Indiana. I mean, he's starting, but like, there's Key Lawrence that's gonna have to rotate in. He's not gonna start, but he's gonna have to rotate. Or Peyton Bowen's gonna have to rotate in there. Like, we still have Billy Bowman. Like, do we have athletes everywhere? Jeez. Like, it's gonna be like, if injuries do happen, which I wish they don't. Like, I still feel like we're gonna be fine in that secondary. But like, if Woody Washington's getting tired, it's all right. He can get a breather, and somebody's going to come in and step up. And I feel like we're fine on defense. I just think if we just come together as a team and figure it out, I think we have athletes that can make plays for sure.
Sure.
And the question at running back, I think Barnes and the Gavin kid, I think they're going to both play.
Sawchuck, like, yeah.
I think they might be 50-50 split reps because they're both. I mean, what they did in the bowl game, it's disgusting.
Yeah. From what I've been seeing, it's going to be probably Marcus Major starting.
That's what I was going to ask.
Javonte second, and then got Gavin and Tawee Walker are going to be in that interchanging. Like,
really?
It shocks me, and I'm a little disappointed. Like, I do hate that.
He's been there for so long.
I know, and that's why he is, like, they've said he's had such a good fall camp and spring ball and everything like that. Which, again, I'd hope so for being a fifth year, but he's probably going to be our main guy.
Interesting.
It is interesting. Like I said, it's only disappointing just because I was so excited to see the young guys who I think have so much potential. But, I mean, if he puts us in the best situation to win, so be it. And
I don't disagree.
By all means, but.
I mean, they are the coaches. Yeah.
I think he's going to be the guy starting at the beginning of the season. I don't think he'll be the guy in at the end. I mean, I think he'll still play, but I don't think he'll be the main guy. I think it'll be maybe Javonte Barnes. I'm telling you what, though, that was it. Sawchuck, man, he reminds
me. That
one
game we saw.
Oh,
yeah.
He reminds me of a guy, Gutierrez, that played years ago. I can't remember what year. It was in the mid-2000s. Maybe later, 2015.
I mean, they both had 100 yards in that game. Like,
to be fun.
I understand them picking Marcus Major, but I mean, if I was a coach, I'd go with the young guys.
Sure, I get it.
But also,
especially because, like, SEC's coming out.
Yeah, next year you're gonna have those two guys still, hopefully.
That Tatum,
Taylor back. Tatum,
like
Stone's going heavy after Caden Durham now.
Oh.
Trying to get him to flip back to Oklahoma. Not back, but to Oklahoma. So,
sure.
I mean, we could be having a 1-2 punch for hypothetically the next 6 years.
already set.
Yeah. Kellen, do you hear much about Oklahoma and Texas coming to the SEC out in that way, or not a whole lot?
I don't think anybody here is worried about it.
Well, yeah.
But I think they'll be worried about it here in a couple of years. But right now, I mean, we just have this reputation of always looking really good in the Big 12 and losing in the big game. And then this year we didn't even make it to the big game, but look what happened to TCU. So it's like, it's kind of the reputation we have. But when people tell me we have a reputation of choking, I always try to remind them, I think that was more on one coach who did the same thing at his next school. And that now that we finally have a defensive mind as coach, that's always been our weakness. Anytime we've played these guys, we come out and put on a good numbers, but we don't stop them at all. But now that we have a coach that can coach defense and we're getting defensive players, like, keep telling them we're going to be a problem here soon. Just give us a couple years in the SEC.
Keep telling them.
I would rather have any day of the week one of the top-ranked defenses any day of the week. And then being able, if you have to, you know, get a quarterback that – I don't say game manager, but, you know, run the ball, whatever it might have to be. I'd rather have a defense instead of having to keep, like we've done in the past, where it was just, we try to outscore teams. I would much rather, I would way, way much rather have a top-notch defense. And if we could get, because we were one of the worst, what I say a few weeks ago, like 128th or something like that last year. And if we could somehow get it in the 40s, 50s, man, Because I believe as long as Levy's there, but I really truly believe we're going to be able to get some skill players on offense, a pretty decent quarterback, as long as Beedenbo's there. Which even if Beedenbo leaves, we're going to get somebody that can coach the line. You know, you got to start with the big boys up front, protecting the quarterback, making some adjustments, and being able to open it up to get some runs. If that makes any sense at all, I would rather have just an incredible defense. I can tell you back in the 80s with Bosworth and Tony Casillas and golly, I'm trying to think of a couple of the other guys that were they were incredible. Now, granted, it was more of a run league, wasn't as much passing, Big Eight back then, and OU beat up on all, like we were talking a minute ago, OU, there were so many times as a kid that their first string was already out by the end of the first quarter. The only time their first string played was against Texas, was against Nebraska, and there was always that one game somewhere where they just didn't have it that day. They were, and then obviously the bowl game. But those were the games that they played the full game. Those were incredible years when we had some of those great, great defensive players. Ricky Bryan, man, goodness, they were incredible.
I mean, if Venables and that coaching staff can get, like you said, their defense ranked in the 40s, I mean, even 50s.
Yeah.
I mean, I think everybody should be worried in the SEC. Because, like, I still think we're going to continue to produce offense. Just especially with, like, I believe a lot in Jackson Arnold, and I think he's a generational talent, and I think he's going to be very successful. I think the next couple years with him, it's going to be scary. And if our defense – I mean, can just continue to improve, and I believe that Brent Venables can do that, and he's proven that he can get guys like David Stone. I mean, like Kellen said, they might not be worried next year, but I think in that next year after that, they're going to be like, okay, OU's going to be a trouble for us, and they're going to be competing.
Sure. And hopefully it's not just four guys sitting around drinking the Kool-Aid thinking, hey, it's going to happen, but I truly do. I truly believe in this team, coaching staff. I see no reason why we don't go into the Texas game 5-0. We've got Arkansas State, then SMU, both at home. Then do we go to Cincinnati? And then Iowa State at home, and then Texas, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I know for sure we go like 3 weeks after these first two away. So we go, like you said, at home, Arkansas State, SMU, again. At Tulsa, Cincinnati.
Tulsa, that's right. Tulsa, you're right.
Yeah.
That's
the one. Then at home, Iowa State.
Yeah, so, that's right. Texas.
That's right.
So okay. Is it 5-0?
Yeah. Yeah. Because those first three, I mean,
should be gimme.
Should. Now, SMU, if they had Mordecai, maybe a little bit.
Yo, 100%. No, if they still had Mordecai,
be a lot different. Now, I don't know who the guy's going to be playing this year. No clue. But Iowa State, I think, is come down a little bit. I don't think they're they've lost some players.
I mean, their starting quarterback's not playing. So
really,
he's the one who's getting all these betting allegations.
That's,
so.
Yes. So yeah, that's gonna be fun. Hopefully, 5-0. We can go to another game against Texas 5-0. And again, if Dylan Gabriel plays that whole game last year, I think we still lose. But I don't think we definitely don't get shut out. And I don't think it's what was the score? 49-0 or 40?
It's probably them in the 30s, and we're probably sitting in the 20s.
Yeah, they still beat us by 10-14 points, in my opinion. I mean, I really do think, but it would have been completely different instead of the other kid who didn't know how to play. It seemed like whatever happened there. I don't know.
But well, yeah, other than the Texas game, the only one that scares me other than them is UCF. Just because I think they do have some pretty big talent on that team, and couldn't tell you last time we played them. So
I don't know if
it's going to be a new matchup, which is also exciting. But I mean, mm-hmm. there's so many question marks about that. So
Gus Malzahn, he's the head coach, correct?
Correct.
Yes,
yeah.
I believe so.
Well, he's done a lot of. I mean, I remember him when he was high school coach, and I think it was Springdale, Arkansas, I believe. Then I know he went to TU as an offensive coordinator. I think he may have gone back to Arkansas as an offensive coordinator, maybe. I'm not sure. He coached Arkansas State for a little bit, too, before or after Auburn. I don't remember. One of them. I think it was before.
Real quick, OU's 35-point favorites. Are you guys taking the over or the under on that?
For Saturday?
I'd take
Arkansas
the under.
State.
I'd take the under.
I'll take the under as well.
Just because I think.
I'll go do it right now.
I think that they're going to be trying a lot of different things, trying to run the ball, trying to get them out of there without us, you know, limited injuries. That's. Let me ask you this. If Arkansas State scores more than 10 points, are you a little disappointed on the defense? Depending on how it is. I'm not talking about an interception turn for a touchdown or.
I'd say
anything 14. Above. Yeah, it's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah. I just want to see improvement. I want to see improvement. I think that place is going to be incredible. Are you guys wearing pink for coach?
I
haven't seen anywhere
about
it. So
I've seen a lot of asking people to wear pink for a coach's wife that has breast cancer. If I do, I don't have any pink OU shirts. I may just wear just a regular pink shirt because I've got a couple of those, but that would be what I do there. But that's kind of what I'm looking at anyway.
Yeah, I sadly won't be in attendance.
What? Why are you going?
We have film on Saturday mornings, and we don't get out till like 10:30. So, I mean, if I do go, it'd be late. But I already offered my ticket to someone else.
Way to go!
But I'll be there for SMU at 5 p.m. I won't be sweating.
Yeah, that's true. It's going to be stinking, be hot. It's supposed to be close to 100, if not 100, again.
I did want to mention about their schedule. I would also kind of be worried about that BYU game.
Oh, I am. I am.
That atmosphere
in
Provo is amazing. And,
yeah.
I mean, we have a history of playing bad against BYU. I mean, I guess Sam Bradford did get hurt that game. But
yeah, he got hurt.
Still,
but we got
– I don't
– they're scary.
I don't disagree, but say we go into that game, what would that be, like 8-1, 9-1? I don't think we have any issues with it at all. Obviously, again, given health and all that. I don't think we have. I think we just go in there and take care of business.
If we're undefeated going to that game, I will be scared that whole week. Because at that point, I'm like, all right,
crap game,
we're playing good. We might make a run. Not win, but, you know, we might get a run. I'm like, now we're going to lose this game and it's over with.
Are you hoping for an OU Texas Big 12 championship?
Yes, I think it'll be beautiful to tell the Big 12, see ya.
Yeah, that would be
good. We're the best two teams here, and now we're leaving y'all. So
leaving.
As long as we win.
Yeah, it's true. As long as we win, I don't care.
Honestly,
go ahead. Nah,
honestly,
whatever.
Even...
No. I don't even want to hear it.
I know.
Don't even say it. All I know is I want to win the Big 12 first, And then we'll see what happens after that. I want to win the Big 12 championship. And then if we get into the big dance, then great. If not, okay.
Well, I have a question for you then. Or for all of you guys. So, I mean, if we do go, let's say we do go undefeated or we lose to that, we lose to Texas, but we play them in the Big 12 championship and we win that game. And
yeah,
let's say we, I mean, would you want to make the playoffs or you just want to make a bowl game? Like, what is your honest opinion there? Because my realistic opinion is I don't think we need to go to the playoffs because I don't think this is the year. I don't think this is the
choke again.
I don't think this is the team to do it.
Is my I will say.
I hope they prove me wrong. That'd be awesome, but I just don't think this is the team to do it.
I think we deserve it. I don't think we would do a whole lot of great things there, but I can guarantee you, if we're in that situation, I'm going to be on when they're on that reveal night, hoping and praying we make it.
That's true. For sure. That's
like
true.
I'm going to be like, we better make it. Like, there's no way they're going to put a 2-loss Ohio State over us. Like, there's no way.
Yeah. Kellen, what about you?
Well, you know, I don't see us making it that far, but if the opportunity presented itself, I want to get in there and compete. As long as we don't go out there and just choke against like somebody.
I know.
But if we make it a good game, granted, I'm always going to be rooting to win, but
yeah,
as long as we put up numbers and made it competitive, then it's like, all right, we'll see you guys next year.
That's true. Like, if it's a game like we played it with Georgia,
exactly,
like, and we lose, I'm going to be like, y'all went all the way. Like, y'all had to take us to, like, 2 overtimes to beat us. Like, exactly. Y'all struggled with us.
And we're only getting better? Like, come on.
With Dan Gabriel, like, quarterback, you let us almost beat you guys? Come on.
With a second-year head coach?
Yeah.
Come on. You know?
Real
Dan Gabriel might win Heisman. Who knows?
Who's your Final Four pick? Who's going to the playoffs?
Oh, that's good.
Is it just I've already me said mine. This
question? I'm going to change mine. I think Michigan is going to go. I still think Georgia with the athletes. Oh my goodness! I think Georgia will be one of the teams. I'm going to go with Florida State, and I'm going to go with Ohio State.
USC is going to be number one. They're going to lose to number four, but they're going to be number one. I think Michigan probably, or whichever one. Did you say Michigan or Michigan State?
I said Michigan because they're the ones.
I was thinking,
yeah.
Michigan, and then I'm a LSU.
Yeah.
Like it.
I just Oklahoma, man.
Yeah, come on. I was gonna do it too.
Did you really say Sooners?
All right. Hey, you know,
okay.
Hey,
I don't want to look like a bandwagoner when they make it. And I was like, oh, yeah. Hey, you didn't believe. I believed.
I will say, if USC makes it and they're number one, they probably went undefeated and they deserve to be number one because that schedule's tough.
But
they're going to lose to number four.
They've got Notre Dame.
But I'm saying if they get to number one.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you name their schedule off real quick?
Okay.
Just the main games. Yeah.
The big ones are they got to play. They play Notre Dame. They play Utah. They play Washington and they play Oregon. And
there's no way.
And UCLA, to be honest with you.
Utah's just tough.
With Cam Rising, they got their number, bro.
They're just tougher.
You
saw Caleb Williams said real quick that he may not even come out next year, depending on who's got the number one pick. And I don't blame him. If it's like the Cardinals, I want to go to the Cardinals.
I mean, they're setting themselves up for disaster for the next 5 years at least, even if they pick him. So I completely agree.
I guess
but they're set up in a way that if they don't get him next year, they'll get him the next one.
So what is he going to stay there for 6 years.
But like, I also understand these guys are making so much money in college; they don't have to rush to the NFL.
Yeah, it doesn't matter anymore.
Like, granted, it's just off deals and all that. But Arch Manning is making more money than off all his NIL deals than Joe Burrow's contract. Not including Joe Burrow's like like base sponsors salary and all that. But like just his contract, Arch Manning's wow making more this year.
Crazy, man. Who's your picks, Garrett?
I got Georgia 1. They got a pretty cakewalk season this year, as long as they take care of business in the championship. Michigan 2, I think they have Ohio State's number now, at least with J.J. McCarthy at quarterback. I think they'll go 3-0 against them. I got Oregon at 3. I think they're the best team in the Pac-12, and I think they'll have a pretty nice record, whether that's, you know, 11-1, 12-0, I don't know, probably more on the 11-1 side. But and then I think I got Clemson at number 4. I think they're still the team to beat in the ACC. I don't know why not as many people are talking about them. They're all just so high on Florida State for whatever reason. Like, they're going to make a big run. Like, Clemson's has just as much talent, if not more, and an experienced head coach, and a better fan base and home environment. So, I think they 100% are the team to beat in the ACC. And I think Cade Klubnik, who had it started last year, didn't have, you know, an incredible year. Neither did Jordan Travis, but I think Cade Klubnik's the best quarterback outside of Drake May in that conference, because Drake May's arguably number one in the country.
Did you guys see the Notre Dame guy, the quarterback from – did he play Wake Forest? He's good.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Sam Hartman.
I watched that game. I was like, this is the best quarterback they've probably had since Brady Quinn, if not
they've had
before.
This
then
is the best quarterback they've had in a while. Good for him.
Which
good
is all him they've been missing. I will and everyone knows that. Like, they've made it to the playoffs with no quarterback, and because they were well coached, they had all around team.
You're right.
And now, I mean, they are like whatever ranking they are, if they make it top 4, you know, middle of the season, they're undefeated normally, I'm like, whatever, they'll lose one or two. But I would not be surprised if they beat both USC and Ohio State. Don't they play Ohio State this year too?
Good question.
That'd be insane.
I'm gonna look that up real quick, but that's the best quarterback they've had in quite some time, and I was really impressed with him. So I see they play Clemson. I see they play Stanford, Wake Forest, Pittsburgh, Louisville. Yep, Ohio State, September 23rd.
I mean, that's a tough schedule too. Like, they're in the same boat as like a USC, to where if they get there, it's no fluke.
No, you're right. And they play NC State. I mean, who's not?
That's tough. That's not. Yeah, they're not bad.
No, that's a good schedule. Man, that's gonna be fun. I can't wait. I can't wait for football. I'm glad it's back. And I can't wait to show you guys in January how right I was. So.
What do you got? I got my 4. I don't think anybody's going to go undefeated, but I still think Georgia will end at 1. I think USC will lose the game, but I think they'll end at 2 because they do have a tough schedule, but I think they'll finish at 2. And you know what? I'm going to go for it. I think Oklahoma finishes at 3 and gives us the matchup we want in the playoffs. And I'm not going to say who wins that game.
Against USC, that would be...
I would love it.
Oh, my God.
I'm not going to say who wins that game, but I think you guys...
Oh, we all know who wins that game. We all know. Come on.
Yeah, and it's going to be us.
The tougher team. Sick.
Maybe I'm just putting my dream of 4. OU at 3, and then I think at 4 is going to be LSU.
Yeah.
I like their team a lot, actually. But if also I could see Clemson in there as well. But I would love to see a USC Oklahoma matchup. And that'd be great.
We got Brent Venables on year 2, just like Bob Stoops was in 2000. Got a left-handed transfer quarterback, Dylan Gabriel, just like left-handed transfer quarterback, Heupel. What was the other one, Garrett? Didn't win there another
ranked,
one?
Ranked 19 or 20?
Yeah, ranked 19, right around there, 20th. I thought there was something with a running back.
Sophomore running back coming off to a big bowl game. I saw another one saying we played Arkansas State that year too. Like,
we played OSU at home that way that year.
We did, because that was
– We play them home this year, though.
No, we play there.
Stillwater last game.
Stillwater. Yeah, this OU schedule this year is not very good at home.
Yeah, you're right.
It's not a good one. Next year.
I don't know what I was thinking.
Next year.
Come on.
Bring it on. Bring it on.
Bring the Crimson Tide.
Well, Diego, we want to thank you for joining us again. We appreciate that. Gannon is in Iceland right now. And so you guys know, in 50-degree weather, good for him. He's in Iceland for the next few more days. He made it there safely last week. So, Gannon, I'm sure you're listening to this at some point. We miss you. We can't wait till you come back. Give us a bunch of stories. Eat some of that good food. And make sure you bring me back something good, nice and tasty. If it'll stay good that long,
and bring some of them Icelandians to the Skulk, you know.
And bring him, yeah, exactly. He already met one individual when they were out and about. So he's got pictures sent to mom. He met I can't remember the guy's name, but it was just a different name than you don't hear every day here in the United States. It's pretty cool. But for all my boys and my other son, Diego, we'd like to thank all of our listeners. Appreciate for everybody listening to the Skulk. Always remember that iron sharpens iron.
Please stay safe.
Be savage and not average.
Remember to join the Skulk.
And until next time.
Good.
Bye, everybody.
Ready?
You've been listening to the Fox Den Sports Podcast with Todd, Kellen, Garrett, and Gannon. Find us on Facebook at Fox Den Sports. That's Fox with two X's. Drop us an email at foxdensports@yahoo.com. And be sure to share this podcast with other sports fans in your life. This has been Fox Den Sports.